It's 9:17. In with me now, Heather Loftus, and she's brought a special guest with her. Would you like to intro our guest this morning, Heather?
Senator Scott Filippo needs no introduction, I don't think, to the listeners of this area.
Not really.
I guess I could start off with an apology this morning, because Heather did reach out to me last week and was one of the, probably the 200 and some odd texts that I got that day. And so she sent me a text this week earlier and said, "You don't want to talk to me. Sadness." And so, to which I immediately replied, and I called Heather and said, No. If you didn't get a response, it's just because I'm inundated with texts and emails. Just call me back.
Oh, you sound just like my husband. Oh, I just get so many texts and emails.
I get that.
But in my case, it's true.
No, it's not his.
Yeah, no, it's not avoidance behavior. It's actually true. But no, I'm so happy to be with you all this morning.
Good to have you. Man. The pace in Little Rock, it's something else these days. I'm having a hard time just keeping up with the amount of activity going on. I can't imagine what it's like for you guys.
It's always kind of like drinking out of a fire hydrant. But I think for this year, it's like drinking out of multiple fire hydrants. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot going on, and there's certainly just some big issues.
Very big.
The Arkansas Learns Act, you know, prisons, taxes, health care. I mean, there's always things that are relevant, but, you know, certainly Arkansas Learns have been getting a lot of attention.
Let's get right to it, sir. The Learns Act, it was passed this week. Let's start with, what conversations did you have locally with local superintendents, local teachers, about the impacts, both pro and positive and negative, about the Learns Act in this area?
I had a lot of conversations. I've got 14 school districts in my Senate district. Mm-hmm. So I spoke to the majority of my superintendents, but I don't want to say that I spoke to every single one of them. Spoke to numerous teachers. As a matter of fact, Representative Painter and I, 2 weeks ago, we met with about 14 teachers here at a local restaurant here in Mountain Home and spent about almost 4 hours visiting with them about different mm-hmm. components. And I had set up a conference call with Secretary Oliva, who's the Secretary of Education, with Dr. Long here in Mountain Home, mm-hmm. and then Mr. Hudson over in Flippin, and Mr. Henderson in Yaleville 2 weeks ago this Friday. And so to get their input. And so, you know, these have been ongoing conversations that I've had with some of my folks in local school districts over the years since I've been in the Senate about vouchers and homeschooling, et cetera, et cetera. But I want to start here with, and I think something that we kind of missed the mark with on the messaging, is that by and large, we have phenomenal teachers here in Arkansas, and certainly in North Central Arkansas. Mm-hmm. I'm a product of the public school system here in Mountain Home. And I feel like a lot of times our teachers just feel like they're just getting pummeled over the head. Mm-hmm. And that if your kids aren't learning, that it's because you got a horrible teacher or a horrible school district. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the same thing a lot of our law enforcement might feel when they feel like their backs to the corner and that everything that's going wrong must be, you know, law enforcement's fault. And that's simply not true. We got great teachers that are doing their level best and working under very difficult circumstances. And I think the hard thing is you've got kids that come from backgrounds and environments that you've got parents, if you can call them that, that can't even take care of themselves, let alone be responsible for another human being.
And let's talk about that. In one classroom, you might have an entire classroom full of children that, you know, may have those struggles at home.
Sure.
And then across the hall, it's a classroom that has full parental support. You know, the kids are testing at the highest level possible. Well, the teachers can't decide who's in their classroom and who's not, yet a child's test scores will now reflect on their monetary gains. How is that fair to our teachers?
You know, I don't want to sit there and say that everything's fair. I think that you could point to anything and say, is it inherently equitable?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not just with education, but almost anything. And I'm not going to sit here and mislead anybody to say that everything is inherently equitable. And I think when you take on a big wholesale change like Arkansas Learns that you're geared towards our public schools, the whole focus is to try to improve, you know, the academic achievements and scores of our students in our public schools. And Arkansas, like almost every other state, is falling woefully below what I think our mm-hmm. society's large expects. Now, to put that completely on the shoulders of our teachers or our schools, I don't think is always fair. Now, are there bad teachers out there? Yes. Are there some poorly run schools out there? Yes. Are there bad members? Are there bad politicians out there? Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, so you can't just take a few and use a broad brush to paint that as the whole. And so in all of this, I think this happens when you have points of disagreement. And so for Arkansas Learns, there are very few teachers that I've spoken to over the years that, you know, that had support for vouchers or homeschooling. And, you know, and I understand their points of opposition. Now, for me, as a conservative, I come back to say, is limited the options of the parents and the students the right response to that? And I had a teacher at the, when Representative Painter and I were visiting with some folks, teachers, a few weeks ago, she was telling me about, she's got about 5 or 6 students in her class that take up a large portion of her time. I said, well, what about the other 25 students in this class that aren't getting that attention? And so I don't know that there's a silver bullet. I don't know that Arkansas Learns is just inherently just the one thing, silver bullet, is going to fix everything that's wrong within, you know, within our education system. But my hope is, and I believe that it will go further to improving test scores and improving overall educational outcomes for more students, or I wouldn't have voted for it.
Were you there when the students from Little Rock Central came to the committee to talk?
I was at the Capitol, but I was not in the Education Committee. I don't serve on the Education Committee, so I was in another meeting at the time.
What were your thoughts on how that was handled? And for those that are unaware, some students from Little Rock Central came just to talk about pros and cons of the bill with the committee. You should go back and watch some of the videos, because some of the students, it was an awkward committee meeting. The committee wanted the kids to stay on track and talk only about the amendments, and the kids wanted to talk about the bill. And the teacher was there trying to get the kids to participate in the legislative, you know, act of our state. And quite frankly, from an outsider looking in, and I didn't see the whole day, but the kids were shut down and they were treated pretty poorly.
Yeah. So, you know, first of all, I would question, like, teachers trying to get their kids to engage, and are they trying to steer them in a certain narrative and to participate in a certain way, and ask, are they feeding them questions? Are
well, they that just goes back their, to the whole critical race
going,
theory.
To are where, they just going on to their own and what their own feelings are?
Is that what you
and
felt so, happened that day?
I wasn't, you know, again, I wasn't there, so I don't want to, but I've seen some of the videos and I've seen some of the clips of it and certainly read some stories and talked to members of the education committee that were on there. But from my understanding, Heather, you know, and this is what happens. The amendment that was made in the House to Arkansas Learns was what was on the table.
Right.
Now, you know, no member of the legislature, whether you're on the committee or not on the committee, can go in there to speak to anything other than what's on the table at the time. And in this case, it was the amendment made to Arkansas Learns over in the House. We have Robert's Rules of Orders, which is how committees are run. Now, that's by the letter of the law and how the legislative process works. Now, we're dealing with young students that wanted to have a voice. You know, that's a judgment call of the chair. Do I think that it was going to change any minds? No. But do I think letting those kids have a, you know, a few minutes just to speak to kind of some of their specific concerns or complaints, whether I agree or disagree, it wouldn't have been a bad thing. When I mean, honestly,
when you spoke to those area superintendents, you know, what were some of the biggest concerns? I mean, if you talk about Yellville, Flippin, Mountain Home, can you name a couple specific concerns that they have with this legislation?
Funding. And a lot of the questions
long-term
here.
Funding.
Yeah. And a lot of the questions here are going to be promulgated in rules. And, you know, the reason that I wanted to set up the conference call with Secretary Leva and some of our area superintendents was to make sure that when the, we start promulgating these rules after when we get out of session, that, you know, that our public educators are going to have to sit at the table, because they're going to be the ones responsible for implementing a lot of this. And they need to have a seat at the table. Now, that's not to say that they get to steer the ship in its entirety, but they should certainly have input to the supplies that we're going to be putting on the ship and the people and what positions they're going to be in, because they're going to have a primarily responsibility of trying to implement these things. And the pace of which it was done led to a lot of confusion, a lot of concerns on just how certain components were going to work. Our call with Secretary Oliva a few weeks ago, I think, went a long way to, you know, to get some assurances that we're going to be working with them as we roll this out and begin the promulgating the rules. But the long term funding is certainly a big concern. And certainly, you know, that not every district's in the same position financially. And that's understood. And so, but what it means is that they're going to have a collaborative partner in Little Rock. And I think that's something that you, when I said earlier that we've kind of missed the mark on the messaging, in my opinion, is in rolling this out, is to, we should have done a better job of making sure that our public teachers and superintendents, even when there's some significant points of disagreement, that we're still want to work in a collaborative effort to work together to achieve better results. And, you know, but they felt that they were just kind of under attack. And, you know, looking at some of the remarks that were made, I can certainly understand their position. And so that's unfortunate. And I think right now where we are at now is we've got to do our level best. And that includes me as a senator here in North Central Arkansas to make sure that local voices are going to be heard when we begin to promulgate these rules, because that's the meat of this.
Governor Sanders made it very clear that education was first on her agenda. Crime was second. So as we move towards crime, y'all are about to take a break, though. Y'all are in session right now, and then you're going to have a little break, then you're going to come back. I imagine crime will be the hot topic.
Crime is coming up.
You know, we had a conversation with Baxter County Sheriff John Montgomery this week, and we talked about our local Baxter County jail. He's got about 70 beds that are currently available in that jail. The state reimburses our jails $40 a day to house prisoners. It costs him $60 a day. My question to him was, instead of building new prisons throughout the state of Arkansas, has the state ever considered matching that per dollar per day rate with our local county jails instead of building these new facilities?
Those conversations I know have taken place over the years. They've obviously not gone very far. Governor Hutchinson, I believe it was last year, during our fiscal session, supported raising the reimbursement rates to counties housing state inmates by $10 a day, which is a fairly significant bump. And I think we've done a $2 or $4 a day, you know, increase before that. But that's not to say that it gets them to a break-even point for housing state inmates. And, you know, one of the primary responsibilities of government is the safety and protection of its citizens. And so if you talk to Sheriff Montgomery, you know, the people that are there are not just, you know, currently in Baxter County Jail because they got caught with marijuana. And that's the same in those in state prisons. I talked to Chairman Magnus, who's the chairman of the board for the Department of Corrections. And there's about eight people currently locked up for, you know, for solely marijuana offenses, but these were large scale distributions. These are not just simple possessions. And so, but for the cost of it is,
but you're having,
we're getting ready to go.
You're
from,
having high numbers of parolees that know that I can do this crime. I am not going to stay in jail
stay
at any,
long. And
yeah,
they,
for
they
very
know
long.
The system.
It's 90 days. I'll be done.
They're
going to
plead
on.
This out. Yeah. I'm going to serve, you know, I'll serve two
How
and a half,
can we
three
not
months.
Address that, you know, more significantly, and instead of waiting until we build all these new prisons?
That's a fair question. And I think the hard thing here is that people are inherently are going to be responsible for their actions. And from a state standpoint, I think a lot of times since I've been in the Senate is you spend so much time just trying to plug the holes in the boat before you can even figure out, you know, which direction you're going to be going or how do you get to shore. You're just trying to make sure the boat's not sinking. And I look at, you know, whether that's education, healthcare, Medicaid expenses, crime, that there's all these decisions that are getting made that is not government making these decisions for people. It's people making them on their own. And then we're kind of dealing with the fallout and figure out how to navigate that.
Let's talk about healthcare for a minute. You're going to be with the Arkansas Healthcare Association at their legislative lunch on Wednesday, meeting with our local hospital leaders, Ron Peterson, CEO of Baxter Health, and several board members. The concern with the Medicare reimbursement rate, of course, from a state level and from a federal level, is the biggest concern facing our rural hospitals here in Arkansas.
And that's something that the state has no purview on, is the Medicare reimbursement rate. So obviously that's a federal program, and that is 100% federally funded. So there's no state monies that go towards that. So those will be decisions that are made in D.C. And so what we have to look at the state level is, you know, what are the areas that we do have, you know, input on? And certainly that's going to be Medicaid. For the time being, I don't expect to see any changes with Arkansas Home Medicaid Expansion program that's using Medicaid dollars to pay for private insurance for, you know, lower income, you know, working aged adults. And so that's been a lifeline, as you know, Heather, to some of our local hospitals, you know, here in North Central Arkansas. Governor Sanders, I don't believe, is going to want to make any significant changes to that this go around, or at least I've not been aware of any conversations regarding that. We have some ARPA money that is still available from that was the feds got to states during COVID. So we've got about $380-400 million, of which we've earmarked about $60 million for hospitals. But
what are you going to do with the rest of it?
So the rest of it is, some of it's going to go into Arkansas Learns for year one, year two on certain things. We've still got a little bit more that's going out to broadband to connect, you know, rural parts of the state to broadband. And that's probably going to count for 90% of it. And I don't want to speak for the other 10% is going to go. But for the $60 million that we've currently got for hospitals, is that enough? Now, honestly, I don't think that it is, but I think if we doubled it, it still is not going to be enough to, you know, to address long-term concerns that these
right
hospitals
back to
are.
LEARNS Act. I mean, it's all the same. Long-term financial stability
that they're facing. So, you know, in the instance now is we've got a third-party auditor that, as a hospital submits an application for some of these ARPA funds, is to audit their business models to make sure that they have a viable business model that we can give them a shot in the arm that gets them over the hump. But what we have to look at is if a hospital was going to close its doors in 3 or 4 months and we steered them $3 million and it delayed that by 6 weeks, was it money well spent?
Two hot topics here in Baxter County I'd like to get your input on quickly. I am running out of time, so I don't mean to cut you off, sir. The landfill issue, I know that you've had many conversations with many constituents about that. Where are we now from a legislative standpoint in Little Rock?
Okay, thank you for the question. I've heard from numerous people over the months, even before going into session, about this. And I share their concerns that an operational landfill, you know, up in Three Brothers in northern Baxter County is not the best idea. I mean, we all know there's been a significant number of environmental problems up there over the decades, and I can't see where opening it back up and having an operational landfill and dumping a lot more trash in there, most of that will be coming from Washington County and not just here locally. So I am working on that with the governor's office and ADEQ to see if there is a pathway that we can, you know, we can derive a solution there that wouldn't lead to it not becoming an operational landfill. But those conversations are ongoing. But what I do want the listeners to know is that I have been hearing from the folks here in Baxter County and Mountain Home, and I know the concern that they have with this. I share in that concern, and I am doing all that I can to make sure that we reach a satisfactory conclusion that, you know, that will keep this landfill, you know, capped and non-functioning.
Senator, you're a graduate of Mountain Home High School. Do you have any thoughts you'd like to share about our upcoming millage in May?
Yeah. So, you know, I think it's important for, first of all, I want to touch on that, is I don't like special elections when it comes to dealing with tax increases. I'd like to see that done in a primary or during the general, because
okay,
I do
want
to
see. Okay, let me ask you a question right there. But how do you keep the politics out of school if you include a school election during a heated general or primary? You know, when you're talking about when that's when it goes back to declaring parties and your candidates. You know, we want to try and keep the politics out of school.
I understand that, but I would counter that with another question, which is probably not a smart idea with you, Heather, but I'm going to do it anyway, which is you're still going to be taking money from the people and you're going to be taking taxes out of their pockets. And so what you're saying is that they don't have a, you know, we don't want your views, we don't want your politics, but we do want your money, but we want to lower the turnout because, you know, we don't want to have anybody that's not 100% on board with what we want to do. And I think the struggle there is to get out there.
I think
the
that's
message,
an unfair statement.
And that's okay, but I think, but that's the perception from a lot of folks when it comes to this is when
people don't want to turn out to vote for a school board candidate, how is that one side trying to, you know.
But the whole premise behind a special election, again, is people that are engaged and people that aren't engaged. But when you're doing a tax increase,
school board elections have always been in May.
But you're going to be leveling that millage on every single person in that school district, in that area. Not just the people that are on the school board or have a student in a school. You're going to be leveling on everybody. Mm-hmm. I think the purpose of government and for elected officials, and whether that's a school board or a superintendent who's not elected official or a state senator, is to go out and to make that case to the masses. And I think that you should feel comfortable doing that during a primary election or a general election.
Okay, well, let's get to the, are you in favor of the school millage for Mountain Home?
I personally support, you know, the school millage. I do not have a problem with that. What I do oppose is doing it during a special election. Okay? So that is a personal thing that I've looked at the roof over there above the gymnasium. And Heather, you and I were a few years apart in school.
It doesn't matter if you're for or against a special election. It's on the ballot in May at this point, right?
Yep.
There you go.
And so I have no problem with that. I think our schools here in Mountain Home are great.
Yep.
Senator, thank you for your time.
Heather,
I'm sorry to cut you off, but Kim's going to kill me if I don't get off here.
No, you're not.
No, I won't. Scott, nice to see you again.
My pleasure.
Well,